Okay, so this week's parsha is Kedoshim. Actually, in Chutzlaris, this week's parsha is Kedoshim. In Israel, they are already a week ahead. They're in Emor, and they're going to be a week ahead, and all the way until just before Tisha B'Av, when in Chutzlaris we double up Parshas Matos. Why we take so long to catch up is a fascinating discussion in and of itself. It could be the question is even asked in the wrong way. It could be that question is, why does Israel let, jump ahead for so long and not slow down for us? But that's for another conversation as to how the whole notion of Kriyas HaTorah developed in terms of having a weekly Torah reading. But again, for another time. But we're doing Kedoshim right now, and I'd like to focus on the Kedoshim is chock full of famous psukim and ideas and values. I'd like to highlight, I think, a couple that are up there on the top, at least certainly the top five or ten list of famous psukim that are all sort of put together, and to and to and I guess at the end to address the question or to look at from the Torah's perspective, what do we do when you have a conflict with somebody else? How do you handle that? What are the ways to? Is there what's the how does the Torah envision that you reconcile when you feel that someone has offended you, has hurt you in some way? How does the Torah envision you go about trying to once again regain perhaps the friendship, the goodwill that you had previously? So we're going to get to that in a moment. Let's start with. We're in Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Again, these are famous psukim. So the pasuk begins, and a lot of these psukim, and Mefarshim will struggle with this. A lot of the psukim will have like several ideas in one pasuk. Sometimes when you learn Bereishis, you have a story that's drawn out over many psukim, even many chapters. Here you get the Kedoshim. Not only do you have it, it goes from one mitzvah to the next, but even within one pasuk, you'll have several different mitzvahs. So here's one example. Again, this pasuk Yud Zayin. Hosisnas achicha bilvavecha. That was translated literally. A person should not hate. You shouldn't hate your brother in your heart. And then it says hocheach tochiach esamisacha. You should give tochacha. You should give a rebuke. To someone within your nation, below sisa a love hate, and you should not bear a sin because of him or because of it. This last expression is a little Mefarshim struggle. What exactly this means? But again, you shouldn't hate your brother. You should give a rebuke, and you shouldn't bear a sin because of him, which is then followed by pasuk Yud Ches. One of the most famous book of the entire Torah, Losikov Lositor Espene. You shouldn't take revenge. You shouldn't bear a grudge against someone of your nation. The Ahavta Lerecha Kamocha, and you shall love your friend Kamocha like yourself. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. What I want to do now is just look at the Ramban. Let's look at how the Ramban addresses these two psukim together. So first he says the following, and with the Ramban often his commentary will give several approaches in terms of how to understand a particular pasuk. It's one of the beautiful things about learning the Ramban. He'll quote Rashi sometimes, he'll quote the Rambam, he'll quote the Ibn Ezra, he'll quote Chazal, and then often he'll give in his own insight in terms of how he understands the pasuk. So that's what he sort of does here. He says the following. He says, again, he's quoting here, he's first discussing this opening phrase that you shouldn't hate your brother in your heart. Why? He's bothered by the question, why does it say you shouldn't hate your brother in your heart? Does that mean you're allowed to hate him openly? Can you tell him, I hate you, I don't like you, say nasty words? Like, well, why only in your heart? It should have said, well, this is achicha, you shouldn't hate your brother. Whether it's internally, externally, shouldn't make a difference. Why does it say bilvavecha in your heart? So he says, because normally most people, at least most dignified people, when they have ill will, bad feelings towards another person, they're not going to outright say it to the person. They're not going to go to such a degree to call them nasty names and to do terrible things to them, but they hide it in their hearts, right? You see them in shul on Shabbos, you'll say a good Shabbos and you'll smile, but in your heart, you can't stand them, right? In your heart, you're upset that they did something to you, right? That's offended you in some way. But face to face, you're going to be a mensch and you're going to, still wish them a good Shabbos. So that's what he says. Most people, right, when they have ill will towards someone else, they conceal it within their heart. Pasuk says in Mishlei, in Proverbs, with his lips, the hater dissembles. But within himself, he casts deceit. Right? You hide your real feelings. So therefore, his scare costs the behovah. So the Torah, in other words, Ramban understands what the Torah is doing. The Torah is saying that you should never hate someone, whether outwardly or inwardly. But the Torah is just addressing the way most people express that hatred. And usually that's inwardly. They won't actually say it to the person. But the Torah is certainly, if in your heart you can't hate the person, so certainly outwardly you can't hate them as well. So that's the first thing. And this first understanding of the Ramban, this first presentation, is that that's an independent requirement, which is not an easy thing, of course, to actually always observe. Because sometimes, we'll get this in a moment, sometimes people can really hurt you in many ways. And they can really upset you, and they can embarrass you, and they can have done things to harm you. And so to really fulfill this dictate, not to hate the not to hate the person, not an easy thing. But that's what the Torah says. Not allowed to have that hatred towards another person. Then he says, then we're going to shift gears. Then it says you should give rebuke, reproach someone. Mitzvah cheres. The Rambam says this is although it's the same pasuk, this is a different mitzvah. The lamdo tochachos musar. We have an obligation if we see a fellow Jew is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, so we have an obligation to to show them the correct path and to point out that they're doing something incorrect. This past week, there was very sad news in the Jewish world. This Rabbi Zacharia Wallerstein, I believe his name was, very popular speaker, very dynamic, and a lot of wonderful work helping many, many Jews reconnect with their Judaism, and also Jews born in observant families are sort of drifting away, a lot of kids. He really did some wonderful work in terms of connecting with them. So I listened very briefly. They had a live recording of the funeral. He died a young man in his 60s. Kidney, something terrible happened. Any event. So one of the speakers that I heard quoted this pasuk, and I forget who he said this, but he said that whoever he was quoting connected these first two phrases. In other words, if you want to give tochacha to someone, you want to rebuke someone, reproach them, it has to begin with lo sisnas achicha, right? You have to do it out of love and not out of hatred. You see a fellow Jew doing something wrong, and you don't use that as an opportunity, let's say you don't like them, to sort of point out their errors. If it's coming from a bad place, if it's coming from a place of hatred, animosity, bad feelings, then you're not allowed to do it. The only permission you have to give tochacha, to give rebuke to another Jew, is if it's coming out of ava, out of love. You care about this person, you just want the person to do what's right. Be a good Jew. So it's coming with in the right place and out of love. Then you're allowed to do that. And so again, I forget who was quoted who said that. The Ramban here is saying that these are separate ideas. There's a prohibition of lo sisna, not to hate someone, and now a separate obligation of reproach, of a tochacha. You see someone doing something wrong, it's a notion of arvus, of responsibility, that we're all responsible for one another. And if you see a Jew who's not doing the right thing, you got to point it out. You have to educate them. You have to show them the correct path. And then what's the final phrase in the pasuk? And this, the Rambam equates this with this idea of giving reproach. Lo sisa lo chet. Do not bear a sin because of him. Meaning what? So if you see a Jew doing something wrong and you don't show them that the correct way of how to act, so the next time they do the wrong thing, guess what? The pasuk is saying, according to this understanding, you're equally guilty because you could have shown them the correct way. You could have corrected their action. You could have steered them in a better path and repaired what was wrong. And the fact you didn't do that, so then you're guilty on some level. You're guilty. Right? We have this responsibility towards our fellow Jew. And we know this idea, you know, this idea plays itself out in other places in the Torah or in Tanakh. Famously, and there's a lot of discussion about this, the whole story with them and the Jews conquered Jericho, right? And this person, Achan, took some of the spoils, and it sounds like the whole Jewish people were subsequently punished for that. That we have this notion we're all responsible for one another. And if we don't, if we don't teach and educate and guide people, and they do things that they shouldn't do, so then we're somewhat liable. We're responsible for that. Okay, so this is So that's this pasuk. But after kach, and after this pasuk says about this responsibility of giving a reproach, but also the opening thing of not hating someone, the after kach siva shetevo. So then you're commanded afterwards to love the Jew. In other words, if you see a Jew is doing something wrong, you're required to correct them, but you shouldn't then think badly of them. But you should. No, well, you did something wrong, and hopefully you can now help them fix it. And then you have to love them. Then you have to care about them. In other words, the next pasuk is "Ahavta rechah kamocha." So you still have to have that ava, that love. Vine, and it emerges hasoni Yisrael, someone who hates their fellow Jew over belav. You violate a negative commandment, but you violate lo sisna zachicha, and you also violate. If you don't love them, you don't fulfill a positive command. There's a positive commandment, v'hasrecha kamocha. So in other words, if God forbid you have bad feelings or towards another Jew, you violate a negative commandment of them not to hate them, and you don't fulfill a positive commandment of loving them, v'hasrecha kamocha. Okay, that's his first way of understanding these. Then he says the following. In other words, this is one approach that he says that people help people understand these psukim. But then he says, because what I think is correct, that you have this idea of rebuke in other places in the Torah, right? You have this early in the Torah when Avram rebukes Avimelech. Regarding then the water, right? The wells of water, the disputes that they have. So Avram gives reproach. So what's the Torah saying? Now he's going to quote, the whole pasuk is going to go together. And it says, you shouldn't hate your brother when he does something that bothers you. Because even when someone does something to upset you, which you have every right in theory to be upset about, it's not allowed to lead to hatred. But what should you do instead when someone does something that causes you pain? That hurts you, embarrasses you, whatever it is. Avotochi sanu. You need to then approach that person. And you need to ask them the following. Madua kacha sisa imadi. Why'd you do that to me? You know, those words that you said to me, that was very hurtful. That was very painful. That was embarrassing. You know, what you did caused me a financial loss. What you did created a wedge between me and my some of my family or a friend of mine. Why'd you do that? In other words, the Ramban is saying that this is the Torah is giving us instructions and in terms of how to respond when someone harms us. So you're not allowed to have hatred towards them. But what you do need to do is immediately ask them, point out what they tell them, show them what they did was hurtful to you. And then he continues, "Below sisa love chait, and you won't bear a sin because of him." To conceal the hatred of him in your heart and not tell him your complaint. In other words, What's going to happen is if you don't point out what the person did wrong to you, you're going to continue to have that animosity, that bad those bad feelings towards that person, and you're therefore going to bear a sin. Notice, because you're not allowed to hate the person, but the hatred's going to continue. So you got to point out what they did wrong. Now how's that going to take care of the hatred? You still so fine. You tell them what they did wrong, but you still are obviously angry at what they did. So now he continues. Also, when you tell them what they did, at that point, they can respond in one of two ways. Oh, Yashuv, well, they can respond in one of two positive ways. Of course, they can be nasty and say, "Oh yeah, you deserved it," but hopefully they won't do that. Hopefully they'll do one of the following two things. Either they'll do teshuva, right? Either they'll say they'll apologize, right? And they'll say, "I'm sorry, right? For what I did, I was wrong." Yisvada, they'll admit al cheto v'schapirlo, and they'll gain atonement. So that's ideally, right? They'll apologize. Like sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes we get into fights or we get someone does something to us, and sometimes we just have a conversation, a one-on-one conversation. We can explain to them what the person did, and the person, hopefully will be genuine and will admit, and recognize that they harmed you, and hopefully they're decent human beings, even though they did something wrong to you, and they'll apologize and we'll be able to move on. Or another possibility says, what's the second possibility? Just one second. Yeah, or the other possibility is yisnatzel lecha. The other possibility is that he'll explain his actions. In other words, you may misunderstood what took place. You think what the person did was, that they were trying to hurt you. That's not what they were doing, right? They were actually doing something that was not meant to hurt you. It was a positive thing that maybe they were being helpful to you. You just took it the wrong way. In other words, there's two possibilities. One possibility is that they did something wrong and they'll apologize. The other possibility is that you misunderstood what took place. You think what they did was hurtful. It actually was helpful. They actually were trying to help you. They actually were, you misinterpreted what happened. You didn't understand, what they did was actually there was a reason why they had to do what they did. Sometimes in our minds, we play games in our minds that we think we envision. Someone looked a certain way. Maybe they looked at you with a nasty look, but they weren't actually looking at you. They're looking at someone else, and you just thought they're looking at you. Like you got to clarify what really happened, right? So they'll hopefully, and they can explain that. They can explain what occurred. So that's great, right? Because if you have that conversation, again, either they're going to apologize or they're going to explain what happened, and as a result, you're going to make up, and therefore you're not going to you're not going to bear a sin. You're not going to continue to hate them because now you guys have worked it out together, and you've repaired what transpired. So that's right. So that's the advice of the Ramban. Right, that the Torah is saying here that don't hate the person when they do something wrong to them, but rather hocheach tochiach, have a conversation. In other words, the hocheach tochiach, the Ramban's first explanation was that you're walking down the street and you see a Jew violate Shabbos. So it's nothing to do with you, but you saw him to violate Shabbos, so you're supposed to go over to him and point out, hey, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. The second way of looking at it is that the tocha, the rebuke, the reproach is because they did something to you, right? That they did something to offend you, to hurt you, and you're supposed to then go to them and say, "Hey, point it out, and try to explain. What you did was very hurtful to me." And give them the opportunity either to apologize or to explain themselves. Okay, then continues the Ramban. And then you got to go a step further. Again, so they did something to hurt you, to offend you. The next pasuk is you can't take revenge. You're not allowed to, and you can't bear a grudge. You're not allowed to do that. Why? Because what's possible, what may emerge, he says, is that it's possible that after the person has justified his behavior, or they've acknowledged their wrongdoing, said, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I apologize." So what happens sometimes is that. And he's talking all psychology. What happens sometimes is that, okay, so they explain what happened, and you don't hate them, but you're not so quick to start a friendship again, right? But let's say the person did something wrong. That's like the first possible. They did something wrong, but they apologize. Okay, so they apologize. So, okay, you move on. You're not going to hate them. But what might happen down the road? You know, a similar situation may arise again, where now you're playing the opposite role, right? Like again, the classic case is that, you know, you asked to borrow, I don't know, you asked to borrow something from them. You, I don't know, you want to borrow the lawnmower, and they refuse. You're all upset then that they didn't give you the lawnmower. So you then went over to them and say, you know, I thought we were best friends. So the person explained to them, "Oh, I already promised to someone else." And okay, so now you understand. Or they say, "You're right. The person says, I apologize. I should have lent it to you." So fine. But now what's going to happen 5 months later when they want to now borrow your lawnmower? So you sort of gotten past what happened, but it's still within you that ill will. And therefore, that's what the Torah says, that even though you don't necessarily have the hatred towards them, you also can't take revenge. You can't bear a grudge. You got to totally move past what happened, which is not easy. And again, the classic examples, they ask, you know, if it's now the opposite scenario, it's now your turn to potentially harm them. You can't. You can't bear a grudge. You can't take revenge. Torah is warning you that you have to totally erase whatever that person did to you from your heart. You got to forget it. Move on completely. But after that, and not only do you have to move past that, but here's the clincher. What's the final thing? You have to recha kamocha. You got to love them. And not only can you not hate them, and not only can you not take revenge, bear a grudge, you got to befriend them once again. You got to go back to start anew. And so what the Torah is therefore is laying out here is the steps that need to be taken to for you once again to reconcile and to go back to how things once were. And again, it's a process, and the process is not going to be easy. The process starts with you got to, you know, let the person know that they did something wrong. Because sometimes the person doesn't even know they did something wrong, or the person did, you know, sort of didn't realize it, or the person doesn't understand how hurtful it was. So you got to be the big person and point it out to them, give them the chance to apologize, give them the chance to explain themselves. And once that happens, hopefully you won't hate them anymore. But now can you not hate them? You can't bear a grudge, can't take revenge, and ultimately you got to love them again. That's how he understands this. And then the Ramban, just to finish up, he then talks about this mitzvah of a haftar recha kamocha, and you know this is I think this is a more famous part of the Ramban, right? Always the question is, what exactly is this mitzvah of a haftar recha kamocha, right? To love someone like yourself. So the Ramban says, tam haftar recha kamocha haflaga ki lo yikabel leiva adam sheyal vechaviel kava asnasho, right? It can't be that the Torah is saying you have to love someone as much as you love yourself. That's almost an impossibility. Right? Your children, fine, right? Fam, but like a friend, you know, you like them, but to love them like you love yourself? The Ramban's famous. And furthermore, he says, oh, Shikfar Bar Rabbi Kiva already told us that's not even the halacha. That's even incorrect translation of the pasuk. Rabbi Kiva says that Klal Gadol b'Torah v'Afriyecha Kamocha never meant to mean you have to love a person equally to how you love yourself. How do we know that? Because the Gemara tells us the following famous case, right? Two people are in a desert, and there's one jug of water. You have the jug of water, And if you drink it, you'll live. If that person drinks it, they'll live. If you split it, you'll both die. So what do? You got the water. Do you drink it? Do you split it and both die? Do you give the other person? He lives and you die. What's the halacha? Chayecha kohen. You come first. You drink it. If it's your water, you drink it. And you live, even though the other person will die. If you love the person like yourself, you should give it to them. So the answer is it can't mean that. You come first. Chayecha kohen. So what does v'hatzriyecha kamocha mean? Says the Ramban, rather, means that one should love your another person regarding every aspect of life, just like you desire good, you should desire good for that person. In other words, just like you want to have a good life, a healthy life, a productive life, a meaningful life, you should also want that for someone else. Right? Not that you love the person the same way you love, you know, yourself, but that you should desire that people should have a good life. You shouldn't be happy if someone else, you know, stumbles, someone else, you know, business fails. That's totally inappropriate. But you should, just like you want good things for yourself, you should want good things for other people as well. Be happy for them. You know, if they hear some good news about someone else, be happy for them. They won the lottery, be happy for them. Right? They had a simcha in their family. Be happy for them. Because you would be happy for yourself if those things would happen. You should be happy for them. That's behalf the recha kamocha, and that's the level you have to achieve. And I'll just end off with this. I think it's interesting that again, if it goes back to how we started, so it started with someone hurting you, right? Someone did something to offend you, to embarrass you, and you naturally have very bad feelings towards them. And the Torah says you can't have that hatred towards that person. So what do you need to do? You need to go over to them. And you have to point out the mistake that they, you know, what they did to you. Hopefully, they'll apologize or they'll explain themselves. And then you can't take revenge, right? Even though you don't hate them, you can't take a revenge, bear a grudge. And then the final step is that you need to love them, meaning you have to be now happy for them. Be happy for them, right? You know, don't fake the good Shabbos in Shul, but when you see them in Shul, say good Shabbos with a full heart. You're happy to see them. Baruch Hashem, they're here in Shul. And if they hear that they were blessed with a grandchild, you send them a text, send them a message, you call them up, you say wish them a mazel tov. Right? You need to feel good for them. All right, the Ramban gives it another possibility, but that's we'll stop here. I think that's again, that our bond again is laying out for us how to handle situations where we get into when we get into fights, disagreements, or when someone else harms us in a significant way. Again, the first way the Ramban reads this pasuk, it's two separate ideas. It's the idea you're not allowed to hate someone, not in your heart, not with words. And then there's a separate idea of giving rebuke. You see a Jew doing something wrong, he has to give a rebuke. If you don't give rebuke, and they repeat it, so now you're somewhat guilty for what they did because you didn't rebuke them. And we saw that other idea about if you're going to give rebuke, you have to add a love. But then this other completely different approach from Ban, it's all one continuous, these two psukim or one continuous idea. It's the Torah is giving us guidance and direction as to how to handle a situation when someone harms us and hurts us. And how to ultimately not only get past the anger and the hatred, but ultimately to come back to a place of love and friendship. Okay, wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.